Lesson tonight, we're going to do part four on the blessings and the benefits of problems. We all have problems. We could all stand up tonight and we could all recite our problems, couldn't we? And boy, wouldn't that be an edifying service, amen? Just everybody stand up and tell your problems. And we've all got them. You know, some people would talk about their health problems. Other people would talk about their financial problems. Other people would talk about their work problems. Other people would talk about their problems with their kids. And then other people would talk about my broken down car, you know. And other people would talk about that pastor at our church, and he's my problem, you know. And no, hopefully that wouldn't be it. But you know, we've all got these problems in our life, and they're woven into the fabric of everyday life. And we talked about the fact that problems come from a variety of sources. A lot of times it's just bad choices that we make. Sometimes it's persecution. Sometimes it's satanic assault. Most of the time it's just simply because we live in a fallen creation. And that, you know, because we live in a fallen creation, Adam and Eve, you know, sin came in, and we have a sin-cursed earth we live on. And that's why there's accidents and DNA and genetic flaws and sicknesses and disease and pestilence and, you know, sinful choices of others affect us. And so that's because we live in a fallen creation. But what we've been looking at is that there actually is a blessing and there actually is a benefit in problems. We've been looking at that for 3 weeks now. I want you to look in your handout and let's review quickly. Number one, we said that, first of all, problems can lead us to a state of, does anybody remember what that was? Humility. That's right. Problems can lead us to a state of humility. Problems have a way of humbling us and remembering where our strength comes from. Number two, problems can teach us, does anybody remember that one? Patience. That's right. Problems can teach us patience. We spent a whole week on that. Number three, problems can cause us to deepen our relationship with the Lord. Problems can cause us to deepen our relationship with the Lord. It's so easy to walk after the flesh. What does that mean? It means we walk in our own independence. It means we walk in our own ways. We walk in our own mind. We walk in our own what we want. And it's so easy to walk after the flesh and to walk independently of God. And problems have a way of taking us into a deeper fellowship with Christ because we realize when problems come, our total need of Him. We realize the weakness of our flesh. We realize that we cannot do it on our own. And so problems have a way of teaching us that. But tonight I want to go a whole other direction. And I want to share with you a fourth benefit and blessing to problems. And that's this. Number four, problems can open doors for ministry to others. Problems can open doors for ministry to others. God's plan for the believer is to be fruitful. Okay, everybody say that. What? Fruitful. God's plan is for us to be what? Fruitful. Now, not only does God desire that we bear the character of the fruit of the Spirit. Y'all know what the fruit of the Spirit is, I know. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. All those, right. Now, so God wants us to bear that fruit, correct? Yes, He wants us to bear the care. I call it the character fruit of the Spirit. So that's certainly God wants us to do that. All right, but God also desires that we bear the fruit of people. God wants us to impact others for Christ. A husband and a wife are joined in marriage. And when they have children, we talk about children being the fruit of the womb. Think about this. When you got saved, you were joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. You became one with Jesus. Christ came to live in you. God desires that relationship with the Lord, He wants that to bear fruit. Just as a husband and wife, fruit of the womb, God wants your relationship with Christ to bear fruit. Well, what if Christ lives in me and I am now a Christian, then what fruit would a Christian bear? Other Christians. Right, Paul? I would bear the fruit of other Christians, other believers. So God wants you to impact others for Christ and lead others to Jesus Christ. Now, many times it says in your handout that problems give to us a very powerful platform through which we can impact others for Christ. Problems give us that platform through which we can impact others for Jesus Christ. And I think that a lot of times we waste our problems. We waste them. We waste our problems. And what I mean by that is that God wants you to take your problems and He wants you to use those to be able to help us. We're going to look at some verses here in a minute that teach us this. But think about this. Problems have a way of refining us, just like a farmer purges a tree. Why does a farmer purge a tree? So that it will become more what? Fruitful. He purges the tree so that it will become more beautiful and more fruitful. If we will turn to God during our problems and seek Him, God can use the problems in our life to purge us and prepare us to be used in the future. A great example of that is the Thessalonians. Let's go ahead and look at it. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And I want to show you a great example of this. All right, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6. Paul talks about how he brought the gospel to these people. We know that from the book of, we've done our study in Acts. He went to Thessalonica. Many believed. They believed the gospel. Now look at verse 6. It says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word." But then notice what they had been going through since they received the word. They received it in much. And then that next word is affliction. What's affliction? Problems, right? Problems, suffering, pain. He said they received the word in much affliction, but then notice the rest of that verse, with joy of the Holy Ghost. So that, look at that, verse 7. So that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Look, listen, look at this. Your faith to Godward is, and then notice that next expression, it's spread abroad. Their faith had been spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. In other words, Paul said, we don't have to go there and preach. You're doing a great job of it. Paul said, we don't have to go there and do it. You're doing a great job of it. We don't have to speak anything. You're doing a great job. Now, church, here's my point, is that these people were going through much affliction. And if you read the rest of the book, you see that more and more. They were going through a lot of problems. They were going through a lot of affliction, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering because of their faith in Christ. But my point is this, is that the problems that they were going through, that affliction, it provided a powerful platform for them to be able to share Christ with others in Macedonia, in Achaia. And he said, in every place, your faith to God is being spread abroad. So their problems became a platform through which they were able to impact and influence and lead other people to Jesus Christ. I want to give you a statement there in your handout. Actually, two statements. All right, here it is. Ready? When you're going through a problem, remind yourself of two things. Let me give them to you. Number one, I am not the only one. I am not the only one. I'm not the only one. Other people have gone through the pain that you're experiencing. And hey, some are going through it afresh right now. The pain you've been through, other people right now, today, it hit their life. The pain that you went through and the pain maybe that you're going through, it just struck someone's life today, what you went through. I am not the only one. There's a verse in your handout. Look at it with me. 1 Peter 5:9. It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, talking about resisting Satan, knowing that the same afflictions, in other words, that they were going through, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The same afflictions, Peter said, that you're going through, other people are going through it in the world. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Go to the left, several books. Let's go to Paul's epistle to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's look at verse 13. It says, There hath no temptation. That word temptation, I know we think of that as being tempted to sin. That's not the meaning of that word. When he talks about temptation, he means a trial. So that word temptation can mean that. That's one of the definitions, and that's the idea of that word. The word temptation there carries the idea of a trial that you're going through, an affliction, some kind of a problem. And look what he says. He says here, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is, and then notice that expression, common to man. There is no problem that you're going through that's not common to man. In other words, there isn't a problem that you're going through where you can say, you know what, I am the only person going through this problem. I am the only person that has ever been through this problem. There is not one problem. There is not one problem that you can name that someone in the world isn't also going through it, and others have gone through that problem. So, you know, he says here, there's no temptation, there's no trial, there's no problem taking you, but such as is common to man. So when you're going through a problem, you got to remind yourself, number one, I am not the only one. So what does that mean? That brings you to number two. Well, look at it. Others need my help. I'm not the only one, and others need my help. Paul, aren't you glad when we go through problems that we have the power of Jesus Christ to see us through? Aren't you thankful for that, brother? How many of you are glad you got Jesus to see you through the problems, right? Did you know there are people going through the same problems you're going through and they don't have Christ? They don't know the answer. They don't have that comfort. They don't have that joy. The Bible says the Thessalonians had much affliction and joy of the Holy Ghost. Aren't you thankful we got the Holy Spirit living inside of us, you know? Well, you know what? There are people out there going through the same problems and they don't have that hope. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have Christ in them. They don't know Jesus as their Savior. They don't know have Jesus interceding at the right hand of the Father for them. They don't have any of those benefits. And then there's people who are saved that just don't know who they are in Christ. And they don't know they have all that, but they're saved, but they don't know all that. So, you know, when you're going through a problem, You have to remind yourself, look, I'm not the only one going through this. And then the second thing you got to say is, okay, if I'm not the only one, then others need my help. Go to 2 Corinthians. Go to the next book, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. What a passage this is. 2 Corinthians 1. And man, this is a great passage right here. We'll begin reading there in verse 3, 2 Corinthians 1, 3. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Now look what he's called there. He's called the God of all comfort. Aren't you glad God's the God of all comfort, church? Now look at verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation? That's great. that we may be able. Oh, whoa, hold on. God comforts you in your problems. But the comfort that he brings to you is for the purpose. Notice what it says there. He comforted you that we may be able. So there's a job for you to do. You see, you go through the problem. You know the source of help. You know the source of comfort. You know where to go. So the God of all comfort comforts you. He helps you. He sustains you. He brings you through the problem. But there's a purpose in that. He says there that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort, how do I comfort them? Well, I do it by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so, and that's the sufferings of this present time. I mean, you're never going to get around it. Oh, why is God doing this? God's not doing it to you. That's the dispensation we live in. We live in the time that's called the sufferings of this present time. And Paul said, the sufferings of Christ abound in us. What Paul's saying there is that a lot of his suffering was due to persecution for his stand for Christ. And look, he says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, now look at this, whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual, powerful, in the enduring of the, and look at that word right there, same. The enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now, that's really a powerful text. Because that text completely substantiates what I'm trying to teach tonight. And that is, when you're going through suffering, you have to remind yourself, number one, I'm not the only one. You remember, does anybody remember the guy in the Bible that went on a pity party and thought he was the only one going through it? You may remember who that was? Elijah. Hey, good to see you, man. How's it going? You just slipped right in here, Paul. Paul Myron's here. That's great. That's right. You told me you were coming. Yeah, I remember that now. I remember you say you come. Yeah, all right. Good. Cindy, it's good to see you. Cindy, do tell. Do tell, Cindy's here. You get it? Do tell, Cindy's here. That was a joke. But where was I anyway with this? Oh, yeah, Elijah. Paul had it. Elijah, you remember he said, I am the only one that hasn't bowed the knee to Baal. And God's like, no. No, no, Elijah, sorry, buddy. You're not the only one going through this problem. I've got, 7,000, I think, that have not bowed the knees to Baal, that are having to basically run for their life like you. So, no, Elijah, you're not the only one. Do you think we could ever get on a pity party? And we think, man, I'm the only one going through this. I can't believe this, you know? And it's easy to do, you know, but that's why we need to be on... That's why we need to be in church and in the Bible and in the God's Word, because doesn't the Bible give us an attitude adjustment? It really does. I mean, that's why we go to church, is right for that reason. It's easy to get on a pity party. It's easy to feel sorry for ourselves. It's easy to think we've got a raw deal. And then we go and we come to church and we hear this and we say, wow, okay, you know what? I'm not the only one. There are scores of other people that have been through this kind of pain, this kind of hurt that I'm going through. And you know, the Bible teaches here that I'm not the only one, but number two, others need my help. Can we just say those two statements together? Number one, what's the two things we need to remember when we go through problems? Number one, I am not the only one. And number two, others need my help. As you allow your problems to draw you into a deeper fellowship with Jesus Christ, which was point number three, right? Problems can deepen your relationship with Christ. As you allow that to happen, then what happens is you're able to share Christ with others and help them. As I allow my problems to lead me into a deeper fellowship with Christ, then I'm able to then share with others what Christ is doing in my life. I'm able to share with them what Christ is doing in my life through the problem, what He's doing in my life through this trial or tragedy or accident that happened, whatever it is, but I'm able to share that with people. See, those problems become a platform by which you can share Christ. Problems are the preparation process. Unfortunately, problems are the preparation process, really, that we go through to enable us to help and minister to other people. That's what you just read in Corinthians. Problems are what really prepare you to be able to have an effective ministry to other people. Can you imagine if there was a person who every decision they made was the right one, everything in their life has just been a velvet plush cushion, everything in their life has turned, everything they touch turns to gold, and they have never had one problem to work through in their whole life. You think they're going to be very effective in trying to witness to others? No, because they won't know how to relate. They won't know how to deal with people. And in your handout there, I want to give you a statement in your handout. It says, while God is not sending problems into our lives, He's not doing that, but He does desire to take the problems that we encounter and use them for His glory and for the help of others. You know the verse, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Didn't say all things are good. All right, there's going to be a lot of suffering. Sufferings of this present time. That's in that chapter, Romans 8. But God can take those things and use them for good. Can I share something with you guys? I want you to listen closely now. There are people out there right now. There were people here Sunday. And there are people who are closed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're closed. They don't want to hear it. You remember the verse I brought up Sunday morning? Where in Zechariah, God told Israel, you've made your heart like an adamant stone. And there are people who have stony hearts. It's like they got this stone in front of their heart and they don't want to hear it. But you know what? They will listen to a person who's been going through a similar problem as them. There's an immediate connection because of a common trial that's been endured. There's an automatic connection there, immediate connection. And you got this person, they don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about God. I don't want to hear about Jesus. But then all of a sudden they've got this problem, this catastrophe, this trial that they've been through or that they're going through. And then there's this believer over here, this Christian, who's been through the same problem. And boom, there's this connection because of this common trial that's been endured. And it gives that believer a platform with which to speak to them about the Lord. Some of the most powerful ministries that could ever start in this church will start as a result of the problems that each of us have encountered and battled through. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about bad things like divorce. Can you really understand? Can you really understand what somebody is going through and how their heart's being ripped out through a divorce? Can you really understand it if you've never been through a divorce? Not really. You can try, certainly. But it's very difficult, isn't it? Who is the best person to be able to comfort and help and witness to a person going through a divorce? A believer who's been through a divorce. I could go on and on with illustrations of that. Who better to help someone that's going through cancer than somebody who's been through cancer? Who better to help somebody, Shannon, with an addiction problem than someone who's been through an addiction? I love what you shared Sunday morning in the Easter services about how that your choices that you made had led to addictions in your life. And you were free to share that. I love the freedom with which you shared that. And you even got specific and you talked about the addiction of alcohol, and you talked about the addiction of trying to seek for happiness in relationships and so on. And he just spoke very honestly about that. And I promise you, you think Shannon was connecting with some people, huh? I guarantee he was. Who better to comfort and help someone through the scars of child abuse than someone who went through child abuse? Who better to help somebody and to minister to somebody who's been incarcerated than someone who's been incarcerated? Who better to help someone with marital problems than somebody who's been through marital problems? Who better to help someone that's struggling with depression than somebody who's been through depression? Who better to help someone through the death of a precious loved one than a godly believer who's been through the death of a loved one? Who better to help someone with financial problems than someone who's been through financial problems? You know, it's really quiet in here, and you know why it's so quiet? Because we're all thinking, aren't we? We're all getting a different perspective right now on our problems, aren't we? And you know what? You know what light is starting to go off in everybody's minds right now? Here's the light that's going off, hopefully, in each one of our minds, and it's in your handout. Look at this statement. Some of the greatest opportunities in our lives come disguised as problems. Some of the greatest opportunities in our lives come disguised as problems. And then look at the question it asks in your handout. Have you found opportunity in your problems? Spiritual opportunity. Is Karen here? Karen. She's not looking at you, but Karen, yes, you. She's going, Karen's deaf. Have you ever been to the Bill Rice Ranch? She said yes. The Bill Rice Ranch is a place that has helped for over 50 years. Thousands and thousands and thousands of deaf children and deaf people. Right, Karen? She said yes. The Bill Rice Ranch that has ministered to thousands of deaf people and seen thousands of deaf people saved and discipled through their ministry. Does anyone want to take a guess on how that started? Through a problem. Bill Rice was an evangelist, and the year that he went into evangelism, 1939, he and his wife, their baby girl Betty, became gravely ill with spiral meningitis. She barely survived. But she did recover. But after she recovered, as she was a baby, she lost her hearing as a result of the high fever. In the following years, it says that Bill Rice and his wife, he was preaching the gospel all over the country, but his own daughter couldn't hear him. And they were very discouraged to see that no one could help them to teach their daughter the Bible. It seemed like there was no one could teach them the Bible. So the mother With the aid of pictures and a blackboard, the mom was determined to teach her daughter the Bible and began to teach her the Bible, beginning with the creation story and culminating with Jesus Christ and what he did. Betty, the deaf girl, got saved. And their eyes were opened to the great need of unreached deaf people across the country. They became convinced that they had to do something to reach out to deaf people. So in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, they purchased, I believe it was 9 miles outside of town. They bought land and they began to build the Bill Rice Ranch. They invited deaf young people from across the state of Tennessee to come to it free of charge. In 1953, they hosted their first deaf week camp with a total of 12 deaf campers. The ranch grew rapidly as the Rices pioneered gospel outreach to a deaf world. There is a perfect example of what I'm trying to say tonight, is that there is a blessing and a benefit in problems. And one of the blessings and the benefits of problems is that it can open the door for effective ministry. Shannon Dan had a burden to start Freedom Found. Why? Because of his addictions that he battled. Grief Share is led by a precious couple who are here tonight that have went through a great loss in their life, losing their 41-year-old son to cancer. Divorce Care at our church is led by those who have been divorced. You see, we're all, and I could go on and on, we're all faced with a decision, though. Here's the decision. We can take our problems from the past. I'm not talking about just problems you're going through now. I'm talking about we've all got baggage from the past. Amen? We've all got baggage. We've all got hurts. We've all got scars. And we can take those problems from the past and present and wallow in self-pity and blame God and blame others. Or we can decide, no, I'm not going to wallow in self-pity. I'm going to find ministry opportunity through my problems. And I'm going to use these problems as an opportunity to help another human being. In your handout, it says that in your problems, God desires to do a work in you, that is, deepen your relationship with Him. We covered that last week. But He also desires to do a work not only in you, but through you. That is, take your problems and use them to help others. Go to John 15. Let's end with this tonight. John 15 is where we'll end. Just stay with me about 2 minutes and we'll be done. John 15. John 15, 4, abide in me and I in you, Jesus said. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. It's got to be in the tree. No more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. All right, so if he's the tree, and we're the branch, we abide in him, we rest in him, we trust him. Now, how does that apply to the previous 2 points that we've just looked at? The benefit and blessings of problems, how he wants to deepen your relationship with Christ through your problems, and he wants to use that as a door of ministry for other people. Here's how it applies. I got in your hand out there. The first law of branches, stay close to the tree. Amen, church? Stay close to the vine. First law of branches, stay close to the vine. Why? Because what happens when a branch leaves the tree? It withers up. It's not going to bear fruit, is it? So stay close to the tree. God desires to work in you and draw you into a deeper fellowship with Him. Second law of branches, be fruitful, not barren. God desires to work through you and impact others for Christ. Look up here before you put your hand out. Look up here. A tree, does a tree bear fruit just to keep it all to itself? No, because what happens to the fruit if the tree keeps it all to itself? It's going to rot on the vine. So what happens? Why does a tree bear fruit? So that other people can come, pick it, and enjoy it. That's God's plan for us. Bear fruit. That is, bless others. Don't keep all the fruit for yourself. That's how we rot. What we want to do is we want to bear the fruit of people. We want to help people. Yes, through our problems, God wants to do a work in me and draw me into a deeper relationship with Him. But then God wants to take that and He wants to use those problems as a door of ministry to help another human being. Some of the greatest ministries that lie ahead for this church will be thought of from people like you who say, I want to take my problem and I want to use it to minister to somebody else. Hey, Pastor, can I start a ministry to such and such people? Hey, Pastor, can I start a ministry to this? Why? Well, because I've been through that. And I know what that feels like. And I know the pain. And I know the scars. And I know what that's like. That's how ministries get started. That's how they get going. Bill Rice Ranch, you know, that's how it happens. Amen. I'm glad you came tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, I'm sure minds are thinking and boy, I tell you, you know, all over the building right now, I'm sure that our minds are clicking on this thing and we're thinking about the things we've been through. And are you using your problems to help people? That's the question tonight. Sometimes as Christians, we're afraid to admit problems from our past. We're afraid to admit them. Well, you know, I understand that can be uncomfortable, but we've got to get comfortable enough in our own skin to where we can be honest about the problems we've been through. And we can, until you get honest about that thing, and then you're never going to be able to help other people. So tonight, with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, I want you to just think about what you've been through. And why don't you pray now with a new perspective and say, God, please allow me to take these problems and help somebody else. Allow me to take my problems, my hurts, the pain I've been through. Please use it to help somebody else. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, do a mighty work through it. And God, help us to take the comfort that we receive from you and help others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.